The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
The ADVFN Podcast with Justin Waite.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 322. On the podcast today, Audio Boom CEO Rob Proctor. And I gotta say, I really like Rob. I liked him so much, and the company he's talking about, Audio Boom, ticker code BOOM, that I bought some shares in the stock after talking to him. I liked it that much, and I like him a lot. And I know the platform here, I upload my audio to Audio Boom, I think it's a cracking platform. But if you listen to the podcast here and with the interview with Rob, I think you'll be really impressed with what he's doing and where they're going. I was. Enough to buy shares in the company. That's the way it worked. Also on the podcast today, the featured riser of the day, today's penny stock with potential. And this podcast is dedicated to Super Willy Splodge, who gave me a 5-star rating and a cracking review on iTunes, and I'll read that out later. But first, yesterday, I'm going to look at my monitor, the stocks I own, okay, today. And yesterday, I featured the penny stock with potential was Independent Oil and Gas, IOG, up 83.9% a day. Now, yesterday, I was contemplating getting into them, but the share price rose the day before a bit too high, so I placed a limit order at 4.5p. And I thought, oh, maybe this is, you know, it's not going to come back to this. It was like 5.25p at the time. I thought, it's not going to come back. Lots of volume. It's not going to come back. So I raised my limit order to 5p. It came back to that. My order was filled. Then it came back down to 4.5p. And I thought, oh, I've overfilled, overpaid. This is going to drop further and further because there was a funding issue with this company. But they released an RNS today, and sort of, you know, Darwin are out pretty much, and they sort of give a steering towards that there will be an update in the funding very soon. And it shot up by 83%. It's now at 60% up. But you see the psychology of buying stocks and shares. I thought I'd honestly overpaid yesterday at 5p as opposed to 4.5p. And now they're at 7.5p. So it is psychology. And I didn't want to. And the thing is, if you look at the chart, I wasn't buying on a spike here. And there is huge upside potential if they get the funding sorted. So all I would say is, you know, don't buy on spikes. But don't be too tight either. I nearly was, and I nearly missed out. I know a couple of people missed out yesterday. They were going to jump in as well on this company. They missed out. They held back a bit. And they missed that, 60% upside now. So, but, you know, like I say, somebody said on Twitter, you know, it's no one rule fits all. But I would say try and avoid spikes in prices. But if you think the potential is huge, then, you know, a half pence here or there doesn't matter. Or, you know, a couple of percentage points here or there doesn't matter, really. It's easy for me to sail, you know, because I manage by the skin of my teeth to get in before that huge rise. That was luck more than judgment.
Joining me on the podcast right now is Audio Boom CEO Rob Proctor. Rob, thanks for joining me.
No worries. Good to be here.
Yeah, I'm quite excited about Audioboom because I work in radio in the morning. I do a podcast in the afternoon. That's on Audioboom. So I'm fully aware of what you do. There are a lot of people though, out there probably who don't know what you do. So can you go through what you do, key points of interest for anyone who could be a potential investor?
Absolutely. So Audioboom essentially is a platform that allows anybody that wants to create, upload, and then broadcast and syndicate content around the web or onto mobile phones. So, I mean, essentially we have a whole suite of tools that make it easy for, you know, we'll call them podcasters, but it's broadcasters. It might be the BBC or Al Jazeera or obviously ADVFN as well, which is now on the platform and doing really well. You can create your podcast, you upload it, it goes into your channel, and then from there you can create embed players for your own website. You can push it to your mobile. You can take clips and push them to Facebook and Twitter. We obviously do a lot of stuff with iTunes. Soon to be doing a lot of stuff with another well-known platform manufacturer for handsets, which I probably shouldn't go into too much detail around right now. But really, we're the hub that allows you to spread that audio everywhere. And really, that's intrinsically what this company is all about. Obviously, everybody sees our website and our mobile app, which are obviously consumer products. But actually, the heart of this business and the commercial engine of this business is being a platform and a distributed media company. So on any given day, I mean, I just looked at the stats before I came in to speak with you. We've got anything between 8 and 10,000 embedded audio players all around the web, all around the world. Plus our Facebook media cards and our Twitter media cards, which are into some of the world's biggest publishers and broadcasters. And on all of those touch points, that allows us now to run pre-roll and post-roll audio advertising. And with our new V4 player, allows us to do video advertising on the pre-roll and the post-roll. So really, it's that distributed media company is really our focus and where we're going. Obviously, the consumer app and the website are important to us. But actually, the engine room is about being distributed media.
Yeah, and do you know what? You don't have to sell audio to me. I'm passionate for audio. I've been in radio for like 20 Indeed. Years, and I love audio. And it's nice, and especially podcasts. And I think podcasts now are even more flexible and powerful than radio, because radio, you have to be tuned into a certain, you know, in a certain area. You can listen to podcasts around the world, and I just think it's amazing that we can listen to a podcast, yeah. You know, from Australia or from America. And I love that kind of power. I think it's also closer, the relationship with the audio, I think, is closer because also, you know, it runs alongside people's lives. With TV and video, you have to stop what you're doing in your life and pay attention to it. Absolutely. With audio, it just carries on the background. It fits in with your life. That's why it's so powerful. Totally. You know, I love that.
I think the other key with podcasting as well, or audio, kind of recorded audio of any description, is that you can actually listen to it whenever you want. Mm. As well, so it's not just where you are, it's when you want it. You can stop it and you can start it when you want. Yeah. And obviously with most podcasting, you may get a pre-roll advert, or you might get one in-read advert, but you know, for commercial radio, there's up to half an hour of advertising in every hour of programming now. Yeah. So and podcasting, you just don't have that experience. So it's a purer way of listening to content that actually you've curated yourself. You're not being spoon-fed stuff. And, you know, I think for those reasons, it's a great product. I mean, radio has its place. You know, people like the company aspect of it, or the community aspect of it, or what have you. But if you've only got an hour's commute to work, you want to listen to the best hour that you can, not, you know, 30 minutes of adverts and, you know, the radio jingle or what have you. Although it's got its place, you just want the content you want, and that's what podcasting's all about.
Yeah, do you know what? I couldn't have put it better. It's like I cycle to work, and it's about half an hour in, half an hour back, and I listen to podcasts on my headphones, and I love it. It's like this is the choice I have: is do I listen to a local radio station that has a boy and girl laughing away at each other at nothing, or do I listen to something I'm really interested in, like stocks and shares for me? That's what I love, and I listen to that all the time, stocks and shares. You know, and I think that's the power of podcasting. So, Rob, so how are we? I mean, I read through some of your R&D everyone else's releases there. And how are you measuring your success rate? Is it amount of listeners, subscribers? What? What's the deal?
Yeah, I mean, when we launched the consumer product back in September last year and, you know, really had a more polished product, say, by January or February, and actually we've got a new iOS product going out the door in another 2 weeks and what have you, we obviously, and rightly at that point, put a lot of emphasis on the consumer product, and therefore that's about registered users. And that's still important to us moving forward. But as I've said, if you like, the engine room of this company is about being a platform. It's about working with the best broadcasters and publishers in the world, giving them the opportunity to syndicate and share that content, and then we put the advertising around that as well. So, yeah, I mean, really, absolutely, it's all the focus is on that platform side of the business.
Okay, let's go through the questions that have been submitted. First one, are we on course for or beyond the 30 million listens per month? That's 90 million per quarter, previously mooted as being a target for 2015 H2.
I can confidently predict, as much as I'm allowed to by our brokers, I would say Q4 this year. Obviously, our year end is 30th of November. I don't think there's any danger whatsoever that we're not going to go right through that figure.
Nice. Okay, next question. Is 5 million registered users still the goal for this year, and are we on target?
Yeah, I think up until, you know, now or, you know, last month or what have you, we were tracking to do that. As I said, I think our KPI focus has really changed, I think, as the last question pointed out, onto listens, because the more listens we get, the more pre and post roll and in-read advertising we can run, and that's where we monetize. So, you know, we looked at all of our KPIs, you know, a quarter or so ago and went, okay, yeah, what's our focus now? It's all about listens. It's all about monetization. You know, that revenue number really is the only number that a lot of investors on AIM think about. We're a listed company, and, you know, I look at our stock price, and obviously I know we have a lot of PIs that have invested into the company. And, you know, from the high of 18p that we got when we were raising money at 12.5 this time last year, and Lord knows how, but, you know, the news got out that we were raising more money, and we went from, I think at that point we were 11p share price. We went up to 18p in 2 weeks. Yeah. You know, but clearly nobody would ever talk to anybody in the city, right? But anyway, that's a whole different story. You know, I would 18p at that time for our company was probably too high. I have to say, you know, and I'm not trying to ramp or de-ramp or anything, 4p and what that gives us in market cap for where we are today. No, for me, looking at this business, and, you know, I've obviously bought more stock as the year has gone by, I personally would think that's too low. So, you know, the KPI number around registered users is still important to us. It isn't our most important figure. It's listens our most important figure, but also our monthly active unique user figure. So that's anybody that's listened to a complete piece of audio through any of our embed players on our mobile, on our website, or on our partner site in the last month. That constitutes a monthly active user for us. So, you know, we're looking for that figure to go north. I think we were at, you know, 27 or 26 last time we put a number out there. We're certainly looking for that number to grow, because that's actually the trigger number for the number of listens that we get. So yeah, monthly active unique users and total listens, those are absolutely what we're after.
Yeah, and of course, so I suppose you can have, you know, a huge amount of app downloads, but someone may not use the app. And so at the end of the day, are people listening on a regular basis? That's what you need, isn't it? You know?
It is. Well, the other important thing to remember about our mobile app is that we don't run any advertising on the mobile app. So whilst it's great to increase registered users, and ultimately the mobile uptake of our product is going to have an effect probably on the terminal value of this business, because most internet businesses, most businesses now, mobile businesses, their valuation is pegged to registered users on their mobile product. So we still look at that. But because we don't monetize in our mobile app until we move to the subscription model, you know, in 6 to 9 months' time, all of our revenue comes from our distributed network. So that's where our focus is.
Okay. All right, next question. Can you update us on the Cumulus Westwood One deal? How is the project progressing? So can you explain the Cumulus deal?
Yeah.
I saw the RNS a while back.
It's a transformational deal for this company. For the listeners that don't know, I mean, Cumulus are the second largest radio group in the US. They've got 480 radio stations. Some of them in the major markets. You know, they've got a good tranche in mid-market, and they've got some in the smaller tier markets as well. So the deal with Cumulus is that we are their audio on-demand digital platform across their entire estate. So we've had teams here from the UK for the last 2 months over in the US. We've literally just had a team come back in today after being over there for a week. Obviously, all of our US team are over there doing it as well. So for the top tier, the big radio stations, we're physically sending a team into each one of those. They're sitting down with the radio show producers, the head of digitals, the business development guys in each of those radio stations. They're creating their channels on Audio Boom. They're running them through the platform. They're giving them best practice. They're setting up the redirects to Twitter and Facebook and into iTunes. And so we're platforming all of that. That's going exceedingly well. I mean, it's an ongoing process. Obviously, 480, it's a lot of places to hit. But we're getting through that. I would say we're probably about 35% of our way through the actual face-to-face. Obviously, once we've created channels, we then have to get it into the workflow and they upload content onto us. And, you know, so that's almost like a follow-up hand-holding exercise. Mm-hmm. But we can see already over the last, you know, I would say 5 weeks, and it grows on a daily basis, but probably 25% of our total listens worldwide now are coming through Cumulus or through Cumulus content. And we've really only started scratching the surface. You know, as soon as we've got all the radio stations up and running, we then do the technical integration to get that Listen Again content into each individual radio station's mobile app. Then we got Westwood One, have 100 nationally syndicated radio shows. So we're slowly bringing on the first 20 of those are coming on last week, this week and next week. I think coming on this afternoon, we have a show from, it's called The Mark Levine Show, currently getting 5 million listens a week. That isn't on yet. That's not on our figures yet. We have the rights to do the in-red advertising on that. Plus, we're running pre and post roll. And that's just a download figure. So we'll then be getting every radio station that syndicates that program will also be getting an embed of that program. So you can listen again through the radio website. And it will go into their mobile app so you can listen again there. So we think that 5 million is going to go to 15 million by January or February just from one show, the Mark Levine Show.
Wow, so, that's quite exciting, isn't it?
Oh, it's massive. It's massive. I would hope by January, Cumulus on their own are going to be doing, you know, let's be conservative and say 45 million listens a month on their own. And every one of those is monetizable with Cumulus selling the advertising. So they've got the second largest radio sales group in the US. So they're already pre-booking campaigns and revenue for 2016. We've already got bookings in for what will be our first quarter of this year, the last quarter financial year. So, you know, November, December, January through. That revenue is now coming in. We've got visibility of it. So for us, it's, you know, bring on the radio stations, bring on the listens, use best practice to maximize syndication and distribution to drive more listens. Let Cumulus do the media sales. And in terms of rev share on that, I know there have been questions around the rev share because, you know, it's obviously a sensitive contract that we have with Cumulus. We wouldn't put it out there. But rev share typically on a deal like that would be, we'd start at a 50-50 basis. It can swing 60-40 in either direction. But we also retain all of the host red or in-red advertising rights to all of that programming. So we're just starting to scale up those sales in the US as well, because that's a very vibrant market in the US, the in-red advertising space. So we're building a team out in New York that's going to go at that directly. And we'll start seeing the benefit of that through, you know, November, December, January. As soon as we hit February and March next year, it'll obviously be up and running. And we'll see good revenues coming in through that deal.
Well, so, and when you say good revenues, can you put a figure on that in any way?
Yeah, I mean, we've obviously got £500,000 pound revenue figure for the end of November, our year end. You know, I think we had 50 odd grand for our H1. So we've gone from 51 grand to, you know, £450,000 in H2. And most of that is coming through October and November. So we follow that through December, January, February, March next year. As Cumulus grows in terms of inventory, so the media sales will grow that goes alongside that. But it's not just Cumulus. I mean, we brought on Yahoo Sports, I don't know, 2 months ago. Those guys were already up doing 100 to 150,000 listens a day on the Yahoo Sports podcast. Again, we have the in-red advertising rights in there. We've got the pre- and the post-roll advertising rights. And all of those listens are coming before this content's embedded back on the Yahoo Sports mobile application, which will happen in Q1 next year. We're talking with other companies like, you know, Entercom, 120 radio stations in the US, Greater Media, another radio group in the US, you know, Associated Press have just come on the platform as well. So, yeah, we've spent 2 years putting all the right building blocks in place. Everything's a process. You know, some stuff takes longer to do than others, like building media sales here in the UK is a process. But we have all of the bits that we need, and we're now seeing traction in all the right areas.
Marvellous. Okay, let's go on to the next question. It's a long answer, but good answer. Yeah. Okay, what's the current update regarding the deal with Opio? Is it Opio?
Opio, yeah. I mean, again, it's another one of those deals that needed to be done because it put us firmly as their global content provider.
Who are they?
Opio is Panasonic Automotive of North America.
Okay.
So they provide the in-car systems for, I think, GM and Ford, all of the German manufacturers, Tata, Nissan and Toyota. So we currently have a couple of three channels on there. So we've got, you know, US sports and rest of world, US news and rest of world, then UK sport, rest of world, blah, blah. You get the pattern on that.
Yeah,
So we're providing that in at the moment. Clearly, the volume it builds is only going to come as more and more people buy new models of cars and they have connected cars. So, you know, that's a process. But we needed to be there early doors. I think the more significant move for us in the short term is the work that we've done on our own app. So our iOS app is now totally integrated with Apple CarPlay. Our Android app is totally integrated with Android Auto. So anybody that's got that capability in their car, literally our mobile app will sync up directly to their dashboards. And again, it's, you know, you're almost future-proofing what you do, but it's stuff that you have to do in a timely fashion. And we think in terms of having a connected car strategy, we're a long way down that track. We're talking to a couple of other I'll use a very old-fashioned word here, hi-fi manufacturers or entertainment systems in the car. So we'll also be fully integrated with them as they start rolling out into various different car models.
Okay, so you've got, you know, it looks like you're very aggressive there in America, North America.
Yeah.
What about places like India, China, you know, Hispanic areas? Any are you heading down there, or are you too focused on America at the moment?
No, well, America we are utterly focused on, and we're building out the team aggressively in New York right now. India, I guess we've pretty much done the JV. Again, I can't really announce who it's with or what it's with, but if you like Bollywood movies and Bollywood music and you like cricket, our launch partner in India and our JV partner is easily the biggest player in the Indian market to do that. So we've just hired a head of Indian operations, a commercial director and a head of content in India. We've actually got head of India and head of content in our office here in London right now. They've been here for 2 weeks. They're going out on content partner meetings and client meetings or in the commercial meetings, getting a feel for the company and the platform. I'm off to Beijing on Friday to speak at the ICC, it's the International Capital Conference in Beijing. While I'm there, I'm meeting with a lot of the leading players in audio and broadcasting, including the Beijing Radio Corporation, which is the biggest commercial broadcaster in China. So we're not aggressively going after the Chinese market at the moment, but we have partners that want to work with us there. I've deliberately stepped away from that in the last year just because we've had so much to do in the UK and the US. I think our technology, our platform, and the partners that we're going to work with in China are now going to allow us through 16 and 17 to move into that market properly. The Hispanic market really is the US Hispanic market. So we're talking with Univision and Extravision and various other players over there at the moment. You'll see a Spanish version of our app specific to download in North and Central America probably by the end of January next year. And we'll have that Univision, Extravision and various other Hispanic content onto the platform specifically in that product.
Wow. Well, you know, you're working hard there, and you answered the question. Someone did say, what are you doing at the ICC in Beijing? And you covered that. But you seem to be developing a lot, and is it expanding and getting pretty... How are you paying for this? Will there be... Someone's put it here. Is there another placing in the offing? I mean, I don't know. I sort of read the half-yearly report, and you had, I think, 6 million cash, and what's the burn rate? What, 3 million a year, or is it more than that?
It's 3 million without any revenues, but we're obviously seeing revenues now. I think we're clearly in a very strong trading position. Like you say, we had 6 million in the bank, so you know it's we still run a small team. There's still only 40 people in this company worldwide. You know, our dev team has got 9 in it now. We look at the Spotify dev team; they've got 320 people worldwide just in development. So you know, we run a lean operation to say the least. But you know, you cut your cloth and you do the job. You know, are we planning on a placement right this second? Candidly, I mean, we're not out pitching anybody for money or whatnot right now. To take advantage of a number of the opportunities we have in front of us, you know, time. For some of them is of the essence, which means we have to divert resources from other places, you know, such as, you know, we want to develop up our platform product and functionality aggressively. We have done for the last 6 months because, like say, a market, it's only about revenues. So we needed to improve our ad tech and our ad delivery and our data and our dashboards and all of that to go with it. But that meant our dev team couldn't work on our iOS and our Android and our website as much as they would have liked to over the last 4 or 5 months. So if we were to raise more money, all of that money would go directly into platform development, which leads directly into commercialization and monetization.
Okay, cool. So do you have a time frame for, or is it too far off because you're developing profitability?
Oh, no, it's definitely not too well. Clearly, it's, you know, you can make that a movable feast. You know, if we absolutely froze where we were today in terms of our burn and we just drove through on the revenues we're doing now, you know, we'd be looking at, you know, to hit profitability even, you know, though we've grown the workforce, I don't know, Q3, Q4 next year. And that's fine. We have more than enough money to get us through to that point. We could do it. Do I want to move more aggressively, like these hires in India? Do we want to do a little bit in China? Do I want to take my 7-man team in New York to 15 or 20 within the next 6 months and build out that commercial department? Yeah, maybe we do. You know, so that obviously increases the burn, and there's always a lag between increasing burn and commercialization and monetization. But I think we have, you know, we have the reserves in the bank to be able to run through all of that. Could we accelerate it potentially with more of a race to do that? Potentially we could. But genuinely at board, we've not even discussed that at this point.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? At the moment, I suppose, with podcasts, I know it's when it first started out, podcasts, they had a bit of a flourish and they failed a little bit. Then all of a sudden, they come back into popularity. And it's a bit of a land grab at the moment. It's knowing that podcasts is pretty much, I believe it is the future. I really do, of audio. And do you feel like you've got to really be aggressive here? Because if you don't, you will lose out.
Oh, for definite. I think, you know, if the one thing that we've learned from all forms of digital, but especially in like traditional media companies, you know, you get a flurry of activity, you get a number of smaller companies, you know, moving to starting out and some grow. And then traditionally what happens, you'll get some big American VC will give somebody $30 or $40 or $50 million and make them too big to fail. With that money, they then go and dominate that market. And within any sphere, you normally get one or two or three major players and everybody else falls by the wayside. Yeah. Now, where we sit today, we are clearly the dominant platform in spoken word and in the transition for radio to move from linear traditional broadcasting to digital on demand. We are the world's leading platform at that. to not ram home that advantage with the potential of becoming a, you know, a multi-hundred million pound value company would have been to lose everything that we've worked for the last 3 years to get the company in this position. And potentially to see, you know, an American upstart that doesn't exist today, but to come into the market with, you know, $40 or $50 million from Sequoia and Insight Ventures and Scale and a few of the other guys would be ridiculous given the work and the groundwork that we've put into this company.
Wow. Do you know what, Rob? You've sold me big time. I'm excited. And as if you need, I mean, that's all the questions. But if, you know, just in case you need a bit more selling. So just to summarize, if you can sort of give us three reasons why you think someone listening to this podcast now, if they haven't been sold already, should invest in your company. Give us three, you know, bullet points if you can.
Yeah, I mean, I think for any internet company of our age, but of our size, but now of our growth projection, you know, let me put it a slightly different way. If we were a private company today and I wanted to go and raise $30 million at a $200 million valuation, I could do it in a heartbeat. Given where our share price is today, given our growth trajectory, the revenues that we have coming in, the partnerships that we've already signed and with what's on the table, you know, in our sector, in our space and available on AIM to invest in today, I don't see any other company that can do what we can do.
That's good. You can't sell better than that, can you?
There you go.
Rob, it's lovely to chat to you. And listen, come on again and chat some more when you have some more news. And one thing, you know, I want to say finally is get this featured. This podcast here, get it featured on Audioboom. So I know you do that and it slips it to the top there so people listen to it more, because this sells your company and it also sells my podcast, which is quite nice.
Absolutely. And we've just appointed a new kind of head of business and current affairs on the content team here. And I know she's working very hard, pulling all the best stuff together. And ADVFN would be in there. You know, Tom with Share Profits, and we've got Share Radio. We're just about to bring Bloomberg onto the platform in New York. So by grouping all of those together, I think we can make a very very strong and credible offering to go out to all the media agencies, but also to our other content publishing partners in order to get this type of content syndicated around. So you're going to be seeing a lot more of the ADFN podcast out there, I think.
Marvellous. Rob, lovely to speak to you. Speak to you soon, fella.
No worries. Thank you very much indeed for your time.
Okay, it's time for the featured riser of the day. It's Sovereign Mines of Africa, SMA, up 128% today. I thought Independent Oil and Gas, IOG, the one I picked, bought yesterday, was going to be the overall winner at 83%. But no, Sovereign Mines has outdone them in an update on the exclusivity period with potential partner. So apparently this has been extended to when? 23rd of October 2015, in order to attempt to finalise a formal agreement relating to the company's Mandiana project. And this has pushed the share price up by 128%. Wow. Okay, it's time for today's penny stock with potential. And remember, yesterday this was Independent Oil and Gas, which is now up 60%, was up 83.5% at one point. So today's suggested penny stock with potential is suggested by Jimbo. And the name and ticker symbol is Fastnet Equity. That's Fast, F-A-S-T is ticker. What does the company do? It's a shell now ready to invest in biopharma sector with 10.5 million in cash and possible potential of shareholders having shares in a separate company for the oil and gas legacy assets. Would you say this is short-term, medium-term, long-term investment? 10.5 million cash compared with a market cap of 7.5 million. And I've just checked that out. The market cap is 7.5. I can't confirm the cash. Please do your own research. Possible shares in separate company for oil and gas assets. News of directors coming on board and purchases of biopharma companies. Okay, so how many shares does the company have in issue? 345 million. Let me just check that out there. On the financial thing, 345, yes, absolutely correct. What's the current price and market cap of the company? 2.15.
Market cap 7.5. Let's have a look at the chart here. We're at 2. Yeah, the bid offer is price 2.25 and 7.7 market cap. This was suggested a couple of days ago. So it's fast equity. Three reasons why you think this company has potential: trading 3 million below its cash, separate shares for oil and gas assets, news of biopharma deals for a 10.5 million war chest. So it's fast, F-A-S-T, Fastnet Equity. Worth checking out, I'd say, because it's got, you know, below a billion shares, which I quite like. Got lots of cash, and it's looking for assets, and a board of directors could do something here. But remember, please, do your own research. Don't base anything, you know, solely on what I say, as I may hold stock in the company. I don't know, but I'm just saying, you know, please do your own research. Anyway, that's it for the podcast. Apart from, listen, this podcast is dedicated to Super Willy Splodge, who gave me a 5-star rating and this review on iTunes. Thank you, by the way, Super Willy Splodge. And if you want the podcast dedicated to you, please, by all means, go to iTunes, give me a 5-star rating and a small review. Tell me where you're from as well. I don't know where you're from. A cracking listen, Super Willy Splodge says. Entertaining and enjoyable with lots of content to suit all levels of investors. Podcasts are full of interviews and analysis from company executives and market experts and offer great ideas to begin your investment research. Blue chip multinationals to £1 million market cap tiddlers. All types and sizes are covered in this slick, informative, I wouldn't say slick, to be honest, you know, it's shoved together. I try to make it, I try to make it slick. I nearly said the true word. I particularly appreciate the vast number of different guests Justin managed to interview and the new extended coverage given to the penny stock shares, and interviews with penny stock share expert traders should be intriguing and hopefully insightful as well. Great job, Justin. Keep up the good work. Listen, Super Willy Splodge, I really have much appreciatus. That's very nice of you to say that. And this podcast is dedicated for you forever and a day. It's podcast 322. It goes out to you. Thank you for listening. By the way, don't buy anything based on a tip or recommendation. It's only just opinion. Please do your own research. Thanks a lot. Speak tomorrow.
The ADVFN podcast with Justin Waite.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, like, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.